BitCo is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Thank you for downloading the Tech Central podcast. My name is Duncan MacLeod. So last week was a little crazy on the tech news front with the news of the giant data leak involving the records of more than 60 million South Africans' private information, living and deceased, adults and children. That story is no doubt going to continue running this week. The legislation that would pertain most directly to this is the Protection of Personal Information Act, or POPI, which is apparently not yet in full effect. I thought it would be useful to sit down with an expert in IT law to discuss this and the possible ramifications for those involved. So I'd like to welcome back Corinne Vermaak to the Tech Central podcast. Corinne is a director of 365 Academy and expert on all things to do with IT and the law. Corinne, welcome. Thanks for joining us on the podcast again.
Thank you very much, Duncan.
Corinne, if you don't mind, let's start talking in broad terms about how the law might deal with this leak, where it might apply in this case.
Duncan, the law globally has been around for quite a few years and has matured quite extensively, especially in the EU. We've seen the Data Protection Directive, and we've recently seen the General Data Protection Regulation coming out of the EU. And this effectively drives a lot of the legislation throughout territories globally. In the South African context, we've seen the formulation over the last, I'd say five or more years to play safe, of the data protection legislation, now fondly called POPI, and the regulator has requested that the industry refers to the legislation as POPIA. So the POPIA Act, on the back of the PIA Act, effectively gives you the right...
PIA being the promotion of
access to information. Correct. Okay. So these two pieces of legislation jointly look after protecting your personal information. And having said that, data and personal data has become a commodity. The drive for this has globally developed due to the fact that people just act with your data almost in a loose manner, if I can call it that. So databases are being sold, people are being contacted, unsolicitedly so, and this has become the bane of our existence. I mean, I think most listeners hate those marketing calls that we get them all the time. And as soon as you have an instance with a corporate organization and you reiterate information again for 4 weeks after that, the whole world wants to sell you something. And that shows the reality of data being leaked. And the legislation has been developed to stop this. Firstly, in South Africa, we have a constitutional right for privacy. And your personal information is a very private part of your being, and if in the wrong hands, can be very malicious. If somebody has a copy of your ID document and they have your address, they can RICO with it, they can FICO with it, and in that open credit lines, get mobile numbers, and all of that can run up. They might be good for the bill at the end of the month, but the reality being is it's being logged against your credit record. So, and those kind of identity theft incidences cause havoc for anybody. And our legislation is being geared to stop that and effectively give effect to our right to privacy on a data level.
Okay. So we've seen quite a bit of information, personal information, changing hands in this case. I recorded a podcast on Friday with Draycor, which is one of the companies that's whose name was dragged into this initially, some reports suggesting that they may have in fact been the source of the leak, which they vociferously deny. But they've part of what they do is a data enrichment type of service. So they purchase data from sources like credit bureaus and that sort of thing. They then enrich that data on behalf of clients, and then they charge a service for that data enrichment. So they're basically taking a set of data about individuals, putting more data about those individuals, and then selling it to a client who can then use it for whatever purpose I guess they want to use it within the confines of the law. Under the Poppy Act or POPIA, is this sort of exchange of information, purchase of information, sharing of information going to be explicitly outlawed, or will this sort of practice still be permitted under the Act?
So it's a tricky question, and I'd like to start off to answer it by just expressing some of the key principles and pillars effectively of Poppy.
Please do.
So in terms of data protection, you as a data owner, and in the reference of the law, the data subject, you own your private data. You effectively give consent to the what the legislation calls as the responsible party. So you give consent to a organization, be it a real estate agency, the deeds office. The legislation, I have to say for the record, doesn't draw a distinction between private and public sector. It covers an entity as a responsible person, as the company or the entity holding this information. At the time when you give this, you give consent for the holding and processing for a certain purpose of this. So that is, those in the words as I've stated them, holds very key pillars to this piece of legislation. So firstly, the responsible party gathers information with specific consent. So if we look at POPIA, that consent is, you have the right to keep my information with regards to vetting me from a credit perspective. The responsible party can only do with that information what it has consent for. So in the absence of consent, that information may not be processed. So if they then sell that information, the legislation will outlaw the selling of it, because the responsible party does not have consent to onward, forward, or sell, or economically benefit from that information that they've gathered for a specific purpose.
Unless you've specifically given them permission to do
that. Unless the data subjects at the time of collection has given them the specific right to sell that information. And I'm hoping that listeners will not give that right, and that they would specifically read what the consent is for.
Under the Act, is that an opt-in mechanism, or you have to specifically opt out of it?
No, so it's definitely a specific opt-in mechanism in which you have to give consent. It's very interesting that under the current draft of the legislation in South Africa, it says that this consent should be for the specific purpose. However, we've seen more mature reiterations of data protection legislation, being the General Data Protection Regulation of the EU. And in that piece of legislation or guideline, it effectively says that that consent should be insightful, and if that consent is to a minor, that the wording should be in such a manner that the minor understands. So globally, we're seeing the legislation to develop more strictly on that specific topic of consent. So the legislation in holding this, if we go back to the pillars, then talks about the accountability. And the accountability is quite wide, as the legislation requires the holding party or the responsible party to have security measures in place, to process this information within the limitations. So these limitations being the consent given, and also to disclose any of this processing to the data subject. The legislation is also very, very open about openness. So the data subject should be consulted at any time when this specific data set is now being dealt with, processed, so that the data subject effectively has control over where's my information and what is being done with it. So certainly, in my opinion, if you do not have the right consent, selling of a databases will be outlawed under the POPIA legislation. Washing all of this and enriching it without having consent would certainly have some legal ramifications. So these data aggregators will have to look at their processes in terms of gathering further information and even as far as making contact with data subjects. I'm probably a nightmare for most of these marketing campaigns, because if I phone, I directly tell them that you do not have my consent to contact me for this purpose. So you have my contact information, but you definitely do not have my consent to contact me for further direct marketing, which is one of the key principles and of data protection.
So it sounds to me, just looking at the story, it's not an industry I've looked at particularly closely before this leak happened, but it certainly appears to me, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but it certainly appears to me that this industry has been a bit of a wild west in terms of the way information has just been shared around in almost a cavalier manner.
Absolutely. And that's why data protection globally has got the attention that it receives at the moment. The reality is, the buying and selling of databases for marketing purposes is older than most industries. And people do not realize that, but you share your information in one instance, your information is then shared with companies onward without you even knowing. And outside of these unsolicited marketing calls, that information can be applied in a very criminal manner if it gets to the hands of somebody that is malice in the sense.
And in this case, we now have to assume that the criminal actors have access to this information. This data was exposed for a long time via this website. It was only discovered this last week by Troy Hunt, a security researcher in Australia, but it appears it was online as far back as March of this year, if not even earlier.
So actually, in investigating the current breach, the data was available on the initial leaked website in what is now being termed as an insecure website since 2015. Oh. So heaven knows what has happened with that data until it came to light. So the initial data share with Troy was as early as March this year, but he actually only had a look and investigated into the depth of this data towards the earlier part of last week. Yes.
Where did he find it? Was it on the dark web or somewhere?
So there's conflicting information in terms of his blog and a video that he recently uploaded. The data was shared with him by a whistleblower. But by a concerned citizen, stating that this data is available in an insecure manner, and that was in March 2017.
Right. So who knows how long before that it was?
Yes.
It was
so even since March to now, the data has been available in that same manner without necessarily Troy's invention.
Yes.
Or having brought it to people's attention so that industries... And he's been quite avid about the fact that he battles to get companies to report these kind of data breaches in a ethical manner. And that's why, according to him, he leverages journalists quite extensively to try and get these companies to secure their data.
It was an interesting video that he posted. We've actually got a copy of it on Tech Central for anyone interested in viewing it. But so we assume that all this data is now out there in the hands of multiple individuals, and we have to assume that those with malicious intent have access to this data. Is there anything from a consumer perspective that, we ought to know about our information being out there? Is there anything you and I can do to mitigate the risk, or is it just a case of we have to be vigilant?
So I think it certainly is twofold. So firstly, you as a data owner and data subject need to be cautious where you share information, specifically your very private information, and in terms of the bill, information that can uniquely identify you. One of these sets of information that always comes to mind is an ID number. A mobile number is actually also a unique identifier. An account number, and the legislation is very specific about the sharing of account numbers and the classification of it. So that should show the sensitivity of it. However, having said that, any of your personal information, you have an obligation to transact with that in a ethical and mature manner. So we should caution, and we should be starting to hold these data collectors responsible when we share our information. If somebody does not require your identity number, they should not be collecting it. And the legislation talks about data quality, and that you should not be collecting, holding, and processing outside of the ambit of your need. So if you do not need an ID number to have a contractual nexus or a relationship with this client, the company should not be collecting those. So companies should be looking at their data sets and cleaning this out for data that is not required.
It's just, as an interesting example, every time I drive into an office park, they want my ID number. I never fill it in, but I see 3/4 of the people who actually fill in that form just put their ID number in as a matter of course. Yeah. That's not a good idea, right?
And you would think that there isn't a lot of unique identifiers. Your email address, if we think about how PayPal works, your email address is a unique identifier because it's unique to you and can authenticate you. So people should really think about where and what they do and transact with their personal information. And there should be a lot of caution in this. Second to that, companies should be held responsible, and that is what this piece of legislation and globally the legislation trends are, that companies ultimately now become responsible for what happens with this information in their possession.
Well, let's talk a bit about liability and what the Act actually says. Who in companies, individuals are held accountable here. It's not a fine that's levied necessarily against a nebulous entity. The Act actually can hold individuals, directors, certain officers within an organization responsible if an incident like this happens. Just walk us through what some of those fines and other other punishments that can be introduced.
The penalties,
thank you.
Correct. So before I go into who's going to jail, if we look at Poppy specifically created a role of a data officer and called, in terms of the legislation, an information officer. And companies like to give it all fancy names: data protection officer, information officer. But the legislation refers to it as an information officer specifically.
Okay.
The information requires all, and I do not caveat that, all entities to have a specifically appointed information officer. And the legislation then goes on to give direction to this role and say that this person effectively in an organization will be responsible to ensure the compliance of two pieces of legislation, PIA and POPIA. So both these pieces of legislation will need to be enacted in the organization by virtue of this role. It's very interesting in South Africa and under our current legislation that it's purely by appointment, and then second to that, that this person and role needs to be registered with the information regulator. So the information regulator will hold a register of all companies and public entities, and who their information officer is.
Does this include tiny companies with one or two employees?
Everybody. Nobody is free of this. So everybody needs to have an information officer. Again, very interesting. If we look at the global legislation and specifically GDPR, it's actually had a development on this. It says that this person should be correctly qualified.
Okay.
So that's a difference between POPIA and GDPR that is now under discussion in the legal fraternity, as POPIA doesn't necessarily talk about qualifications. So firstly, your information officer in your organization is responsible to ensure and advise the organization on policies, processes, technologies to ensure the compliance of these two pieces of legislation. Then secondly, obviously, the buck ultimately stops with the chief information officer or the chief executing officer of the company, the chief position, whatever that might be, an MD, a CEO, whatever the position is in that specific company structure. So, and having said that, if we now we've unpacked the two roles, the reason why I unpack that is the legislation is very clear that not only can you be fined up to 10 million rand, there can also be imprisonment. So unfortunately, we cannot imprison an entity. So the reality of that is, if the CEO or the information officer is found to be negligent in acting with these data sets and personal information, they surely can get prison time, up to 10 years. There are smaller fines as well of 12 months here and there, but the maximum fine is 10 years in terms of the penalty under the Act at the moment.
Is this a piece of legislation, given that it affects everybody, even the guy who's running a corner cafe, is this another piece of legislation that's going to be unenforceable?
I want to err on the fact of saying unenforceable, but I have to note that the private sector has taken a stance of let's wait and see what happens. And this, to me specifically, is a big caution, because I follow the global trends so closely. I'm cautioned by the fact that the South African companies, and especially if you look at the small and medium sector companies, have been slow to take on this as an obligation and to appoint information officers and to ensure that their company delegates are trained on this topic. Because the larger organizations has got usually a zero tolerance to non-compliance to these pieces of legislation, because they don't want the 10 million rand fine, but they also have a bit of brand sensitivity. So most of the larger organizations I've seen and has played a role in helping them comply with these pieces of legislation. So, however, in the medium and small sector companies, we have seen a very slow take up, even in just the plain understanding of the legislation. So that definitely is a caution, but yes, companies all should have an understanding of what information they hold, where is this information. We see this specifically in the health industry, actually. It's very interesting that in the health industry, a small medical practice have got files lying on the front desk with very sensitive information in it. And when asked, but how do you protect your patient's information, you are looked at as if you speak a foreign language. So this is largely a concern in the industry. And unfortunately, we're probably going to see a big take-up once the regulator issues their first large fine, and possibly their first fine to a medium or small entity for not dealing safely with personal information.
Given what happened last week, first of all, let me ask you where in the process we are with the POPIA Act. It's been coming for a very long time. My understanding is the Act has been signed by the President, but it hasn't actually been put into effect fully yet. It calls for the creation of an information regulator. I know a chairperson for that information regulator has been appointed in the form of Pansy Tlakula, who I think used to work for the Independent Electoral Commission, if I'm not mistaken. So there's clearly some things that have happened. Where are we in the process of the implementation of the Act and the creation of this regulator?
So, as you are well aware, the chairperson of the regulator was appointed in November 2016 and was given mandate, and budget was approved for the establishment of the regulator. Now, I don't want to say the poor regulator, but unfortunately the regulator has come in the last week, clearly, and under major firepower with regards to not being in effect yet, but it is twofold. So yes, we've mentioned that the bill needs to be finally passed, and the bill will be finally passed and in effect once the regulator gives a thumbs up to say we are ready and we can now handle this. The regulator, based on my understanding of where they are with their processes, is they are in the process of establishing their own office. They've got two permanent members and three consulting members, which are from academics straight through to leaders in the industry, looking at different sectors of data privacy and helping with establishing the regulator. Now, if we go a step down from an academic level and we just look at the operations, the regulator will be required to handle calls. So thus, I'm expecting them to establish a call center and skill up staff to be able to handle these calls. So if somebody finds that their data has now been breached and they want to complain to the regulator about this, or you have a local whistleblower that is aware of an instance where data is being leaked, they need to be able to contact somebody. They cannot contact the advocates running the regulator in their personal capacity. So a operational arm of the regulator needs to be established. And as you and I both know, that's not easy. So at the moment, the regulator needs to build its own domain, so website where people can be contacted throughout. They need to build these mechanisms and a catch operation arm where these complaints can be filtered. Maybe some complaints is just what are my rights, and a writing back to the question poser would be sufficient, but some of them might result into big investigations. So behind the mechanism to operate these complaints, there needs to be an arm of investigating these complaints, getting in contact with the company's officer where this register now lies to say, you are the information officer of so-and-so company, we've received this complaint against data being leaked from you or suspecting data being leaked from you, how do you answer in that, can we come, can we have a look, can we help you audit, or can we audit? At the previous Poppy update, one of the permanent members of the regulator made it very clear that they are already dealing with complaints and that they are getting back to people that have gotten in contact with them with regards to the legislation. However, again, this is not scalable at a 5-member board. So the regulator is definitely not doing nothing. The regulator is definitely actively building this operational arm to be able to help with rolling out awareness campaigns, help with rolling out training to smaller organizations and into more rural areas outside of the big metropolitans. All of this is roles that the legislation gives to the regulator and needs to now be built from a, if I can call it, a staffing and HR perspective. So the regulator has come under major fire, but I do think it's been a year for them to establish a lot of processes, policies. There's also quite a few regulations that the legislation referred to, and these regulations obviously needs to be written from a legal perspective and then be published to assist them in handling these kind of complaints. Right. So, however, currently my understanding is that this data leak specifically, not only is it Home Affairs, currently the hawks, or the policing arm of the police, this South African police force, as well as the regulator, has joined forces in investigating this breach. So they definitely are playing a role in the current investigation, even though the bill has not been passed. However, sadly so...
So the bill hasn't been passed yet?
No.
So it's not an act of parliament yet?
No.
Okay.
No.
So when does it become an act of parliament? When the information regulator is ready for it to become an act?
So effectively, once the regulator is up and working and functioning, then... Yeah. Parliament will go through the final processes of passing it as an act.
Okay. Correct. And then it gets signed by
And
the
we're hoping that would be towards the first quarter of next year. However, there's some commentary that might expect it to be the latter part of next year.
Okay. So it's not in force yet.
No.
I'm sure the companies or the company or companies involved in this leak are probably breathing a bit of sigh of relief about that. But are there other acts that could come into play here? You know, there's the Electronic Communications and Transactions Act, for example. Could that have a bearing on this case? Are there other acts that could be used to potentially prosecute parties that may have been guilty of leaking this data?
Outside of all of these technology law legislation that we are seeing, we always have a position to fall back on the common law, as we are all aware. So... I am certain in good hands you'll be able to formulate a good case of negligent misconduct of senior officers, and you could leverage a lot of other pieces of legislation like ECT and some of the common law legislations against conducting, you know, yourself in a certain manner with regards to personal information and somebody's privacy. Mm. So I don't think that there is no mechanism to prosecute the companies involved. However, I think that once the legislation goes live, it would be much easier. And Nglakula have been quoted to say that was the legislation passed, she would have gone with the highest fine in this regard to the company involved. And on the highest fine, you're looking at 10 million rand fine, which I also have to state is in many cases still nonsensical. The GDPR states 4% of global revenue as your fine.
Right. So it can, if you're a large corporation, be a huge amount of money
yes.
in that instance.
Exactly. So the South African piece of legislation is still capped in terms of a monetary value, and the global legislations are tying it to global revenue,
which
makes more
sense
because massive.
If you're a small company and 10 million rand can wipe your business out, if you're Anglo-American or one of the giants listed on the JSE, 10 million rand is not that much in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, we can take that one on the chin. And that's where the imprisonment remains a problem. Mm. And again, globally, we have seen directors of companies go to jail for breaches of confidentiality, for breaches of trade secrets. So I'm expecting that we could see something similar in this regard.
Okay. Very often, though, and I think it may have been the case in this instance, I don't know, but very often you find it's a smallish company that, you know, that is certainly not an expert in IT. I mean, certainly the banks and IT companies and consultants, all the rest of it, have a lot of IT people on staff. They understand the issues. But for someone who's selling houses, for example, IT is the last thing on your mind. So I suppose, you know, someone could, and it may have happened in this instance, someone could learn in the media that there's been this massive leak and I'm responsible for it, and it's the first time you're actually hearing about it or even knew that your data was exposed.
So unfortunately, ignorance of the law has never been an excuse. However, in this instance, people should be made aware. And again, as I mentioned, the regulator will have a joint obligation to create awareness and make people aware of the fact that if you hold personal information and if you transact personal information, you have an obligation to keep that secure and deal and transact with it in an ethical manner. And if you are uncertain about the transaction of this data, you should consult the data subject and gain the correct consent and deal with it in an ethical manner. Again, and I keep on referring the global legislation because it is the next step of maturity. And because our data protection draft has been based on the EU directive, I'm expecting us to see an update in line with this global legislation, and therefore quite a few of these references. So having said that, the global legislation goes as far as to say a data subject has got the right to give a responsible party an instruction to forget me. So if I, in the past, dealt with a certain finance institution and I no longer do business with them, and they have no other legal requirement to keep my information, so they don't have to keep it for tax purposes or they don't have to report it to the Reserve Bank, I can give them an instruction to delete all my information and evidence it back to me. So that can become quite tricky if later on it is absorbed into our legislation. However, companies, small or big, need to understand what data they hold, that they are accountable, and that they have an obligation to be open, honest, and fair towards the owner of that data in how they transact and store. And this comes in many different flavors, understanding that cross-border data transfers will be outlawed if you don't have the correct consent. So as a data subject based in the territory of South Africa, if I don't give you, the requester or the company managing this data, specific explicit consent that you can now store this data on a backup in the Amazon cloud in Ireland, you're not allowed to do that because you do not have my consent to export my data. It is seen as a data export. So there's a lot of fringe obligations that is also concerning. But the step one is ignorance is no excuse. Companies should be smartening up and understanding that they are ultimately accountable for this.
Okay. So from a governance perspective, now, obviously a small corner cafe is not going to have a board of directors and regular meetings, but for larger companies, you've got various committees on the board that deal with a whole range of issues. There's obviously the risk committee that every company has. Is this something that should fall under the risk committee? Is it something that should be managed by that committee on the board? Or do you think there's a need to actually create an entirely new committee simply to deal with the subject of information security?
So there's quite a few opinions on this. Our legislation isn't specific in how this should be formulated inside an organization. However, the industry has taken quite a lead in terms of saying that the information officer should uniquely be independent. And
independent of what?
Independent of the processes that manage information flows.
Okay.
And the reason for that is you cannot do and mark your own homework. So the reality of that, if that individual reports into a structure of the holders, processes, and publishers of the information, let's say that being the IT department, there's a risk of influence and bias to process. So the information officer of the company needs to ensure that in ensuring the company is compliant, that it does it in an independent manner, and that it reports and shows its effort. So all of this should be auditable. Mm-hmm. So an independent company should be able to come in and say, did you train your employees? Did you get the correct consent? Where do you save your consent? Do you destroy your information when it's not relevant to your process anymore? How do you destroy it? Is it in a physical format? How do you destroy physical copies of the information? And all of this should be evidenced or evidenceable in the process that is followed. So I think companies still have a bit of green fields of how they structure it. And in a lot of large organizations, it will make sense that this individual forms part of a compliance structure, maybe a regulatory department or a risk and compliance department. However, this person and this field specifically should be reported at the highest possible manner on a directorship level to say that these are the risks involved with regards to data protection, and this is our roadmap to securing the data that we hold and are responsible and accountable for.
Okay. Just coming back to the sharing of information and who has information. I'd imagine credit bureaus hold probably the most sensitive information about individuals, and most people will have a record or multiple records inside a credit bureau. Does the POPI Act deal specifically with credit bureaus? No. So they're just counted as another company that's under the regulations and the legislation. Yeah.
So POPIA is very wide. Mm. The umbrella is cast quite widely in terms of all entities, and thus holds this high regard for all of these entities. However, it does put a specific obligation on companies that hold sensitive information, and the sensitive information list is in the legislation. One of these sensitive information list fields is actually found in this data leak as being ethnicity. Mm-hmm. So it is considered as being sensitive information if your ethnicity, sexual orientation is listed. And on this leaked database, my understanding is that there was fields that indicated this. So not specifically named, however, obviously held at a higher standard because they hold this sensitive information. And I personally feel that if you look at the amount of information and the trust that the public puts on a credit bureau or on the credit bureaus, for instance, in the South African context, that as an organization should be held by a higher security guard. And there has been speculation, as you will be well aware, that the initial source of this database might have leaked from a credit bureau. And there's multiple opinions on it based on the structure of the MySQL database, based on the fields that was captured, and based on numerous factors. However, that is still sub judice and still being investigated, so I'd prefer not to go into too much detail. However, I certainly do feel that a entity like a credit bureau or a financial institute will definitely be held by a higher regard in terms of the legislation.
Okay. So I think the message out of our discussion today, Corinne, is that if companies are not taking the POPI Act seriously, they better start taking it seriously pretty soon, lest they be involved in something, a similar incident to the one we've seen in the last week. And once the legislation is in place and the information regulator is up and running, they could face very serious consequences.
Absolutely. And I do want to mention again that the regulator has been quite vocal in saying that they will take very harsh action against entities that have showed no effort. Mm-hmm. So being 100% compliant with the legislation is, by many opinions, probably quite a tricky thing to accomplish.
Yeah. Yes.
For large organizations as well as small organizations. But at least showing effort puts you in the correct position.
Right.
So if the regulator and if the act is finally passed and the regulator is up and functioning, I'm sure if they knock on your door and you can show that you've made an effort to, again, train your employees, make sure that personal information doesn't lie around, there's basics in place like a lock on cabinetry, and HR information is segregated on your technology stack. There's quite a few what I call low-hanging fruit that could be easily accomplished with regards to data protection by literally locking away, ensuring password protection is done. People are trained not to leave their laptops unattended with open screens. These kind of small low-hanging fruits can quickly be accomplished by virtually little capital investment. Mm. And I'm sure that the regulator, if looked at a small and medium organization, seen some of these effort will take a softer stance in terms of fines if versus a smaller entity that has done nothing or can prove that they've done nothing on in this instance.
Does the bill actually specifically allow for that? Does it allow for the regulator to go soft on companies that have been... is there a specific clause in there that allows them to do that? Or is it, do you just think it's likely that they'll do that?
No, I think it's likely. And in a discussion with one of the members of the regulator at the previous Poppy update, it was mentioned that they will give some time for companies to ensure compliance and that they would help companies where they are requested to help companies. And that's where this operational arm will come in play. So I think it is my personal opinion that they would probably look at you as any court would look at you to say, you've taken the reasonable actions to start getting to compliance. You're not there yet, but you have a roadmap in place and you know what you're going to be focusing on, and you definitely have actioned some of the items on the roadmap. They will definitely have a softer approach to you than a company that has done nothing.
Okay. And if you don't agree with the decision that the information regulator reaches, I presume like any other regulator, then you have recourse to the courts. You can then challenge that decision in the courts?
Yes. You can definitely, even though the information regulator will be very independent and will have their own... judiciary advice internally in terms of the legislation, you will definitely be able to challenge that to the courts.
Which as a matter of interest, which department of government is responsible for the implementation of the Poppy Act, and under which minister will the information regulator sit?
So at the moment, it's still under the Department of Justice.
Justice. Okay. Okay. Will that change at some point?
No, I don't think so.
Unlikely. Okay. Corinne Vermaak is director of 365 Academy. Thanks for talking to Tech Central today. This has taken the discussion forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much.